Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 246, recorded on March 13th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. How's the heat down there? Is it hot?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I kept getting alerts on my phone like for three or four days. Supposedly, yeah.
I mean, I haven't noticed. It's nice. It's been nice. Oh, crud. Yes. It says it's 90.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know. I've been held up in my cave. I don't go outside.
You get that AC going, I'm sure.
No, we don't have AC.
You don't have AC?
No. We can get a nice coastal breeze. Just leave the door open.
Oh, that's nice.
It's
80 in here.
Stone
knives and bearskins.
It's 80 in my little cubicle here in my closet.
Jeff Gamet's also here. He's probably not as warm.
No, but it's really nice. It's 58 degrees right now.
Summer or spring has finally sprung for you?
Yeah, I think winter's done. It feels like spring is really here. So on one hand, that's cool. And on the other hand, it would have been really nice to get a lot more snow.
Oh, because you're a skier?
That and when it's snowing, that means we're building up water.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But you don't need nearly as much water as we need.
Well, yes, we do, because we give you our water.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Okay, this show, of course, is sponsored by Smile at smilesoftware.com/TIOSS. We will talk more about them later on in the episode. But we're going to talk about fancy new shiny things.
I thought we were going to talk about pop music.
Nope.
You know, everybody talk about pop music.
Pop music.
See?
What about pop chips?
No, Michael. Get with it.
Okay. I want to talk about the new MacBook first. Even though we're not really a Mac show, I need an outlet to talk about.
You're not going to... Which side of this party are you joining?
I'm on the... It's Tim Cook's... G4 Cube side.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I think this is the rumored 12-inch iPad.
Okay. I will give you that. That is a legitimate way of spinning this. I like that way of going with this, but the reason, the fact that they called it a MacBook, not a MacBook Air, not the MacBook Air Retina, and not a new bleepity bloop, whatever, baffles me. If they called it anything but a MacBook or a MacBook Pro, I would be so much happier about this situation.
Why? But,
okay, because it has one frickin' port.
One amazing port.
But you need an $80 adapter for this amazing port that no longer has MagSafe on it, which is awesome. No Thunderbolt.
I'm bummed about that, but what it tells me is that this really is the rumored 12-inch iPad Pro, because look at the way the iPad and the iPhone work. You have
it's
a single port.
One cable, yeah, I get that.
And it's designed so that you don't use it with the cable attached. I don't think Apple expects people to use their new MacBook with the power cord attached.
So it's a netbook, is what you're telling me. It's an expensive netbook.
Yeah, in many ways, it's a netbook.
Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of things.
They said they'd never do, but.
There are a lot of things about the new MacBook that I really like. I love the new keyboard. I love everything about it. I love the new butterfly mechanism. I think that's great. I love the fact that there are LEDs in every single one of the keys. That's so cool. The new trackpad.
I really hope those are addressable. In software.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Oh, man. And if they're like full spectrum LEDs, I wonder if you can change.
I don't think they are, but I mean, it'd be cool if, just even if they were addressable, because I mentioned on my show It'd be cool if you could do like keyboard shortcut hints, or for like learning to type.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of applications. Yeah. So you could go into like a help system, and it would like show you different keyboard commands.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You do some interesting things with it.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
I don't think they are though. Unfortunately, I think they might probably just an all on, all off. Kind of thing.
They might be though. I mean, I wouldn't dismiss it immediately because, for example, like the Magic Mouse, mm-hmm. You can do a heck of a lot of stuff with the Magic Mouse, but that may be for the sake of just making it simpler to drive the gestures and whatnot through software.
Right.
The new trackpad is very cool. I think it's great. They obviously used that to make it thinner, so there's no clicking mechanism in there.
You want to join the rage over no light up Apple logo?
Oh yeah, I'm going to rage over that too. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I'm pissed about that. I'm irritated that there's no sleep light in my MacBook Pro, and I was kind of irritated. I had a 17 or a 27 inch iMac for a while. It's like a 2009 that I bought from Craigslist. That didn't have a sleep light on it either. That was like the first modern iMac that I had. So that was the point where I realized that. And it was frustrating to realize that it wasn't, I didn't know what was going on with it. I'm not pleased about that. So that must be where they have all the antennas.
No, I think it's so
in the
thin.
Bottom case.
Yeah, it's just that lid is so thin that I think they needed to not have that cut out just to keep the lid.
There's no room.
Yeah, reinforced, whatever.
This is what happens when Johnny Ive is in total control.
I don't think so.
I think it is.
Well, look at the back of an iPad.
They were inevitably heading here this way, yeah.
No.
Yeah, this. I really think this is the rumors that we're talking about an iPad Pro, this is the device Apple was actually working on.
Okay, if this is the iPad Pro, I'm totally cool with that. But the problem is the marketing is off, I think, calling it a MacBook. Just inherently calling it a MacBook throws off the marketing, and it confuses consumers. And people, I mean, I hope that nobody goes out there and doesn't realize what they're getting themselves into when they realize they can't plug a frickin' USB thumb drive into this thing.
I think iPad Pro is probably not the right way of swinging this either, though, because that to me almost implies that it should have a touch screen.
Yes, I agree with that for
Doc,
sure.
Doc Rock on the Mac show this morning, I think, kind of hit it right in terms of this is the notebook for all the consumers who looked at the iPad, either have an iPad but also want an external keyboard and want to be able to run like full-blown OS X apps. So it's more like that solution for someone who wants the light portability of the iPad but wants to run Mac OS on that kind of device and have a keyboard, basically.
Yeah, but how many so, grams, I mean, difference?
For what?
How many grams difference is there between this thing and a MacBook Air that has a better processor and better everything?
It doesn't have better everything.
Yes, it does. It has an i5 processor.
Have a better trackpad.
Who cares? It
doesn't
work
have a better
that
screen.
Much better. People who use this thing say that the trackpad takes getting used to.
Right.
Well, of course, it's a new thing.
You can't just say better. You have to. There's different interpretations depending
more
on
powerful.
Who you
it's
are.
More powerful
of better.
There,
well,
there
again,
are more ports.
It's, again,
it's more
it's
powerful.
Not a power user machine, which is why I want to avoid.
It's more expensive
it's an iPad,
than
quote,
the MacBook
Pro.
Air.
I mean, it's more powerful than an iPad in terms of processor,
and it's three times the cost almost of an iPad, depending on which one you're talking about.
Well, no.
Okay, it's twice.
How much is a 128 iPad, which I think is the biggest one you can get, right?
Okay.
How much is that?
I don't know.
$900?
I mean, it's tough to figure out how to compare these things. It's...
Well, and I'll tell you another thing. If you're doing a comparison to the Air, and I told you and Rankin this too, you need to config the RAM and the flash storage the same. And when you do that, the price comes out almost equivalent between the models, between a 13-inch Air and a 12-inch MacBook. when you spec it out that way. So then the difference becomes exactly what you were saying. It's the CPU, GPU, and the screen. So you have to decide, do I more care about the Retina display and I might have a little less power under the hood? And again, another thing...
But don't forget the really long battery life.
Yeah, but I'll also caveat the less power thing is we haven't seen any benchmarks on this thing. So we don't know how it performs compared to an Air. People are making a lot of assumptions.
That's true. We could be very surprised at the performance that this thing offers.
Yeah, we really don't know. So on paper, it looks like it should perform slower. The question is how much slower and in what applications. I have a feeling it's not going to be very good for video and image processing, or not as good as the Air. But the Air isn't a powerhouse in that realm either, honestly. And if those things are important to you, you probably should be looking at a MacBook Pro.
Yep, there you go.
So this is a consumer machine targeted at consumers, someone who wants more power and a little more functionality than the iPad can offer. They want to run full OS X apps. But we're talking about things like text and surfing the web and email and all the things that a lot of people are using iPads for now. So this is for that person who's like, you know what, the iPad's not enough machine for me, but I'm not going to be running Final Cut either.
I don't think, I'm still not sold. I think it's interesting.
I'm totally with you, Adam.
I would like to point out that it's interesting that the interface for selecting your MacBook is the same as the one for selecting your iPad or iPhone. And that contrasts with selecting a MacBook Air, where you can select your processor, your RAM, your flash memory, all those sorts of things. It doesn't configure like a computer. It's almost as if they're secretly not selling this as a computer.
You know, this is Apple's answer to the Surface 2 or whatever it is, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think that calling it a... Then call it something else. I don't think they should call it a MacBook. I'm okay calling it something else.
It's a laptop device that runs OS X.
It's the
same
thing.
That falls under the MacBook product line.
And it's the same thing the MacBook was when we had a MacBook. It's the consumer.
Yeah, but the portable. MacBook always had at least one USB port.
And so does this.
Okay, fair enough. I will give you that. Unless you're trying to charge it, then it has no USB ports. Unless you get an adapter, which is another $80. So,
That's true.
I would like to point out that if you configure, you get the baseline MacBook, and you compare that to a MacBook Air with similar RAM and hard drive capacity,
Yes. They're
the same price until you add on your $80 adapter that you're definitely going to want.
No, you're not. No.
Now, see, Michael, you're thinking about this from the wrong
perspective. I'm not the one who wants this.
Yeah, this is not a computer that was designed for you.
Okay. Or for any of us, in fact.
No, here's the thing. It's the computer he wants to want, but can't. So you've got
So
rage.
It's very frustrating.
I will give you that. I do want to want it because it's really sexy.
It is. And when I see this, I'm thinking, okay, so what is the MacBook Pro going to look like when it gets updated? Not talking about the 13-incher that was just introduced.
Or MacBook Pro gets sexified.
Yeah, when the MacBook Pro gets sexified, maybe later this year.
I'm thinking really the main thing that happens there is the USB ports get replaced with USB-C ones.
And we'll still have MagSafe.
Maybe not. That might go away too.
I'm going to think positive on that because losing MagSafe on a computer that is expected to be used with a power supply on a regular basis, ditching MagSafe is a really bad idea.
I think so too. And you can.
I think they're doing USB-C for power all across the board.
I fear you're right.
Three USB-C ports in there.
I'm going to start like leaving bags of flaming poo on the doorstep at Apple. Shouldn't have recorded that because now they'll know exactly who to go to.
I mean, because that would be the advantage of using the USB-C is like we can put one extra one of these, get rid of our traditional power one, and then now you actually have more options, right?
Yeah, but okay, so what happens to Thunderbolt now?
You can only do power.
What's going on with Thunderbolt?
Thunderbolt will be in the pros until Apple, you know, I said this, Thunderbolt is going the way of FireWire 800. So look at the trajectory of how long it took Apple to phase FireWire 800 out of their products, and that's probably about how long it's going to take them.
So they're already phasing Thunderbolt out?
I think they are.
I think you're right.
I think Thunderbolt had its chance, and the peripherals didn't make it, and what have you. And there just wasn't enough adoption. Apple was putting a lot of hopes on it, but, I mean, the consumers, again, spoke and said, just like with USB, it's like, most people want USB.
The consumers didn't speak. The industry spoke for the consumers. And that speaking was, there's nothing for Thunderbolt, or it's too right. expensive.
Right. For whatever the reasons. But the point is that USB-C has a lot of the advantages of Thunderbolt, and it's going to be much more widely adopted. As a matter of fact, and I mentioned this on the Mac show today too, just look at your newsfeed at how many companies immediately after the MacBook announcement. So I had heard nothing about USB-C coming to anything. And then Apple throws out the MacBook, and suddenly it's a plethora. Yeah,
we're getting PR emails. Hey, check out our USB-C hard drive.
Yeah, yeah, well, and we did not see that with Thunderbolt.
I would just like
it was
to
like
point
crickets
out
for
okay,
months.
So two things about USB-C hard drives. One, there's no daisy chaining, or at least can USB-C daisy chain or no?
I'm pretty sure it's just like USB. It's a hub situation.
Okay, but so now that means that with your MacBook, if you plug in a USB-C drive, you can't charge it while that drive is attached.
And so does that drive, it would depend if that drive has power, because actually USB-C is bidirectional power.
Okay, so you're saying that the drive could, the drive's power brick could power the computer?
Potentially.
That would be nice.
And that's what I think when monitors come out, I think monitors will have pass-through power for the notebook.
That would make
USB-C, sense. USB-C, they're calling basically the dock cable. I mean, it can do a lot of stuff. So you can finally have one port with a dock on your desktop. So like Jeff is saying, I think really the idea behind this is that this is for the people who want to just use it totally unattached. And then when you do need to use it on your desktop, you're going to buy a dock. And you're going to plug in the USB-C cable, and it's going to provide power. It's going to provide, and you're going to plug all of your accessories on your desktop into that. And then you have one cable to connect and disconnect when you need to go on the road. And I think that's pretty awesome. We've been trying to get there for a long time. And the best we've ever had so far is one docking cable and a power cable. USB-C can carry up to 100 watts at 20 volts, up to 20 volts, I think. Of power. And I don't know how much, I don't think Thunderbolt can do that. But I could be wrong.
Just to clarify, I have nothing against USB-C. I just have everything against only putting one USB-C port.
And I love Thunderbolt. I love the idea of Thunderbolt, but unfortunately
it didn't work out. And I think
that out.
Yeah,
had to do with the licensing
is,
fees, right?
What do I do with my Thunderbolt drives?
Get USB-C adapters for them.
I never bought a single Thunderbolt-only drive. Do you have drives that are Thunderbolt-only, Jeff?
I have a Drobo that's Thunderbolt.
But it's
not
Thunderbolt-only,
is it, right?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to turn around and look.
Yeah.
But, Michael, I don't think that you can put Thunderbolt through USB-C.
Yeah, you probably can't. All right, that's enough of that. Let's move on.
Somebody was saying today, and I need to do the research, I think Ewan said that he had read that you can't do it on the MacBook because it's somehow tied to the Core M processor, which sounded odd to me.
Can't do what?
So Core M couldn't do Thunderbolt, basically. So it was somehow a processor limitation in the new MacBook, in that he understood that you could actually, with a different processor, potentially adapt USB-C to Thunderbolt.
Mm.
But that sounded weird to me, so I wasn't buying it. But I haven't researched it, so I have no evidence to refute what he said. That's all.
All right.
more research must be done.
Okay. Let's move on to happy things. Things that make at least me happy.
To Apple things? To iOS things? Since it's an iOS show?
Yeah, it's an iOS show, as it turns out. And there's the Apple Watch. But you know what? Before we get to that, let's talk about Smile.
Oh, yeah.
Things
okay.
That makes me
happy.
Somehow
interrupted the ad earlier.
No, I just kind of decided to just take a right turn into an ad before we get to the Apple Watch, because why not? So, of course, this show is sponsored by Smile at smilesoftware.com, and we're talking about PDF Pen Pro 7 for OS X. It's the all-purpose Mac PDF editor. You can add signatures, text, images, make changes, and correct typos. You can OCR scan documents, fill out forms, and so much more. And I like this quote. Its abilities compare well with Acrobat Pro, and yet PDF Pen Pro comes in at roughly a tenth of the cost. And I remember, Jeff, you said last time that you think it's better than Acrobat Pro.
Yes, I do.
Cool. And that's a great endorsement, because Jeff knows his stuff.
I'm pretty picky about my graphic design and PDF tools.
Yeah. And you're an Adobe fan on top of that, so...
So there you go.
So, of course, PDF Pen Pro 7 has an updated modern Yosemite user interface, which is great. I used the older versions, and it's a definite improvement over those. Of course, you can OCR pages as you could always do, which is great. You can just scan in a document and throw it into PDF Pen Pro, and it just magically figures out what the text is. And that way you can highlight it, you can copy it. And one of my favorite things to do with PDF Pen is scan in documents that I need to read, but would make me oh so sleepy because they're boring, and I want my computer to read them to me. So, like, you know what I'm talking about? There are some documents you just have to get through, but it would make you fall asleep, so it's going to take you way longer to try and read it with your eyeballs than to, you know, have someone read it to you. So have the computer read it to you. So then you can use PDF Pen Pro to do that for you. And in fact, in addition to just OCRing, you can do corrections, and you can edit the OCR text from the scan pages. And with the new interface, it's way easier to proof this OCR stuff. Whenever you see an error, you just click the piece of text. It gives you a context-aware pop-up. You can immediately change it right there. It's super easy and fast. You can even turn on the different layers so it will call out the thing. So by default, it doesn't show you an overlay of the text that was OCR'd, but you can still kind of pseudo-select the text that was printed on the page. But if you want to see what the computer has actually interpreted, you can turn on that layer and see it. It's really neat. Like I said, there's the context sensitive pop-up menus for all different types of editing. In addition to doing standard highlighting of text, you can also do freeform highlighting to call out drawings and diagrams and whatever else stuff you want to do. It's not something you can do with preview on your Mac. You can also draw on your PDFs. You can just, you know, make line art or different shapes, squares, circles, etc., whatever you need to do to put that on there, different opacities, different colors, etc. It's very good for that kind of thing. And this is really cool. You can create PDF forms with interactive signature fields. That is just so cool, because yes, with preview, you can take either a document that already has the form stuff built in, which is a standard that most apps can do. You can also do the, you can type within forms. And that's something that both PDF Pen Pro and Preview can do. You can just type on things that look like forms, but they don't have the form data there. But if you want to make one of those magical real forms in a PDF that you see sometimes that are just so convenient when they're actually there for you, get PDF Pen Pro and you can make those. So you can do standard text fields, you can do radio buttons and checkboxes and submit buttons and just all sorts of magic, including signature fields, so you can actually sign a document with your trackpad. It's so cool. They also have table of content, editing, and creation. So that's just really useful. So you can make actual chapters for your PDFs, and you can even do nested table of contents. So you can put in subchapters or subsections, et cetera, that kind of stuff. It's great for anybody who does, I don't know, messing with long PDF documents, legal forms, et cetera. It's great for that. You can, of course, export to Excel, PowerPoint, PDF, and the PDF archive formats. There's compatibility with iCloud Drive, so you can just save all that stuff immediately to iCloud Drive. And there's just so much more. It would take a long time to talk about. Check it all out at smilesoftware.com/TIOSS for the iOS show. You can check out PDF Pen Pro 7 for OS 10, and we thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. And with that, let's get on to the shiny happy, and that's the Apple Watch. So we have our prices. Starts at $349 for the 38 millimeter, and for an extra 4 millimeters, it's only $50. $50 more, I should say. So $400 for the 42 millimeter sport. They have the, let's see, it's blue, white, green, pink, and black. I think I will be getting the 42 millimeter black sport band Apple Watch.
That's the one I'm picking up as well.
That's what I'm going for, but I want to try them on and decide if 42 or 38 millimeter is the right size for me.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, they have sizing guides on their site, so you can actually, it gives you a nice little chart of what your wrist circumference is. Measure your wrist circumference, and it'll say, okay, so you kind of fall between this and this. I kind of fall between the 38 and the 42. Where it would make sense. So I'd want to use the bigger band for the 38 and the smaller band for the 42. And it's one of those things about this is the the Apple Watch Sport comes with two different bands. So you get a small, medium, and a medium, large band with those sport bands. And I forgot to grab the link. I should find it. But it's a, I saw on Reddit, someone created a site where you can actually, exchange your bands. So if you're,
so you can swap with other people.
Yeah. So when you get your, the idea is that because the sport watch gives you two different bands, you're only going to use probably one or the other size wise. Right. And then, so you say, hey, I have a, you know, a small 42 mil, band that's this color. Anybody want it, trade me for you know, a different color in the same size. And so that way people can end up with two bands that work for them.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'll find that and I'll put that in the show notes. But yeah, it
seems... How are we going to resolve... because I know they're doing the preview thing, right? So they're going to have preview in store. And if you want to try them on, I think you have to make an appointment.
You do. Yes. That has totally been confirmed. I was talking to Jeff about this a couple days ago and we weren't sure, but it is in a press release from Apple saying that it will be by appointment.
Are they?
I thought the by appointment part was when you go in on the 24th or later.
That too. That is also a case, but I think for the preview, you can't just walk in and say, I want to try one on.
Beginning,
you can walk in and see them in under the glass case.
Yeah.
But I think it's by appointment only if you actually want to do like a fitting and try it on.
Exactly. Yeah. So from Apple's press release, beginning April 10th in many countries, try on by appointment at Apple's retail stores and available for pre-order through the online store.
All right.
Now,
looks like I better make an appointment.
Here's where I'm going with this, though. Doesn't pre-sales also start on the 10th?
They do.
Yes.
So if history proves accurate,
yeah,
I do not see the opportunity to get an appointment and try this thing on before they're going to sell out of the first round.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. So I my plan is to just go ahead and order my 42 mil black sport and cross my fingers that it was the right choice and then go in and play with it later.
That's kind of how I'm feeling. I'm going to have to do it. I'm afraid if I try to make an appointment, go in there and then say I want a pre-order, they're going to be gone.
Yeah. And it seems like everybody I talk to is saying they're going to get the black sport watch.
Maybe.
Yeah,
you may be changing your mind. Have an alternate ready. That's what I'm going to tell people.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work out, man, I think it might have to be. I hadn't even thought about it.
The
now
white
I gotta
one.
Think about an alternate.
The only other one that I really liked was the white one. I think that if you get like the blue, it looks kind of.
Well, you can always get a
Fisher
different
Price-y.
Band later. I don't think there's going to be a problem with the band. So the only thing you're giving up is the black finish. So probably any other color wouldn't matter.
Oh yeah. Well, and so the sport bands are $50 a piece.
Well, if you want apples, I mean, there's going to be so many third party options that I think are going to be way better. I'd ultimately want a leather one, but there's no way I'm paying $150 for a leather, a tiny strip of leather, the metal buckle.
Yeah.
Apple's insane.
Yeah. So the bands, let me see. So the sport bands
appear insane, but after talking with Brian Chaffin a lot about watches, and he's really into watches, that's actually a really good price for the band.
Is it leather from like a baby panda?
I hope so. Yes. Or baby humans. I'm not sure. But
baby humans.
But if it's a $150 leather band, then it's going to be a quality band.
Nobody write me. I didn't mean that. That was a joke.
The Milanese Loop.
Please.
It's $150. We know.
I love pandas. We need to be saved.
Yes. Save the pandas. $550 for the Link bracelet.
Yeah, that's the most expensive band.
Yeah, that's the one I want too, but it's not happening, obviously.
Well, the actual watch that I want is the Space Black Link bracelet one.
I think that's the one that everybody truly wants.
So it's
that's
$1,100.
Yeah,
yes,
it's
$1,100. There's no way.
Get it, dude.
No.
You're a baller. You got to show it off. You got to show everyone that you're a baller. And that's the fun thing
if
about.
If I'm spending that, I'm buying a MacBook.
One of the dumb MacBooks.
I think they're awesome.
Okay.
But if I'm just going to blow money on something, you know, frivolous, I'd rather blow money on that than a watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Especially the first gen. I mean, honestly, I think that if I didn't have the podcast, it'd be a tough decision even to just get the first gen watch at $400.
It's definitely one of those things for us that, yes, there is an element of I want it for sure because it's fun and cool, but we also have to be able to talk about it. So that's
being honest with myself, I probably would still buy it. The thing is it would be a harder sell with my wife to be like,
yes,
you know, now at least I can play that. Well, I need it card.
Isn't that the best? When the significant other, are you sure you need that? Well, I need it for my job.
It's my job.
And then I can also say it's a write-off, which it is.
It is. It's very true. It's a write-off. It's important. So let's see here. So they're taking the reservations. They considered a platinum model, which I guess we're hearing rumors that maybe later on we're going to see additional casing materials, according to Ming-Chi Kuo, later this year.
$25,000 white gold one?
Hell yeah. $25,000.
I don't.
Holy cow.
Start saving your pennies.
Yeah, start saving those pennies.
I have no qualms about the price.
No, neither do I.
You know, the pricing on the gold one's fine. You know, you don't have to buy it. It's not the 351 is no different than the $17,000 one.
Yeah, well, my favorite thing about the whole thing is there is zero difference between any of them, right? Other than the physical size and what it looks like, it's just a matter of how much bling-blong you want out of this thing. And I think that's
bling
great.
Bling-blong, you say?
Yeah, bling-blong.
Okay.
I'm hip. So, although I would like to point out that according to Apple, and nobody's, at least that I've heard of, really pointed this out, but they're testing, they say, so 18 hours, so they say all day battery life as in 18 hours, and that's based on their testing with a 38 millimeter Apple Watch with beta software, et cetera, et cetera. They say that that includes getting 90 notifications, 45 minutes of app use, 30-minute workout, 90 time checks, and music playback over Bluetooth, blah, blah, blah.
You check your watch 90 times a day? I think that's getting into OCD territory.
I think that is insanity, but it shows how it breaks down for what it's
right.
worth.
Yeah, so, no, I get it.
But according to them, the 42 millimeter should experience better battery life, which implies to me that they have a bigger battery in the 42 mil, which should make sense, right?
Makes sense.
You wouldn't think they would just not put more juices in there with a bigger case. And apparently they did. So that's cool. So there's a
they
real
put their
reason
juices
to get 42.
Into every nook and cranny.
Yeah, they did. And so there's a reason to get the 42 mil. So I think maybe I'm probably sold on getting a big watch. And so, cause I could manage with the 38, but I think something with a little bit better battery life makes sense.
Well, if it truly ends up being that battery life, and Apple's usually pretty conservative on their battery life estimates on most things, even 19 hours is, you know, at that kind of usage, I think most people aren't going to use it as much as is described in that testing.
Yeah.
So you're going to get more than that.
Yeah, you get 72 hours on the power reserve mode too. So that's the mode where it just tells time, I guess.
Right. Which, yeah. So, but okay. So when people get these initially, they're going to burn through the batteries so fast because they're just going to be showing off everything it does and playing with it all the time. But my guess is that after a couple weeks, maybe a month, depending on who it is, that the usage will drop off to a more reasonable level and battery life will get better. But be ready for the people right after the Apple Watch comes out to sit there and bitch and moan about how Apple lied to them and they have crappy battery life.
Yeah, those people need to shut up. There are, you don't read comments. I was reading comments this morning on Apple Watch articles and it was just such hate. Like, just chill out. Nobody's making you buy it.
I think another, there's always that degree, there's the lust factor and then the realization like this is, I lust after this, but this is potentially a very silly purchase.
Yeah,
and
we'll see.
I'm going to feel bad about myself after I buy it, but I'm going to be so happy that I have it.
Well, okay. And I want to sideline.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
It's like,
yeah, is this really going to improve my life or make me just a little more insane? I want to mention that I have been thinking about that specifically, whether, you know, is there a way to eke out more productivity in my life with this device? And so I've been thinking throughout the last week, day to day, how I would benefit from an Apple Watch. And so I think, okay, well, taking out my phone to look at the time, that's an obvious one. Things like figuring out the date, what the current temperature is, what my next appointments are, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I'm probably going to write up an article for TMO on this, but I'm going through
awesome.
And very meticulously trying to figure out what I want to have on my watch face based on what I think about constantly throughout the day, what questions I'm asking and trying to answer through my phone, right? Like weather, alarms, et cetera. What I want in my glances, because I don't want to load that thing full of glances, right? Where I'm just constantly swiping to figure out the thing that I want. I just want to see a few things like today's appointments, what alarms are set, what the forecast is, maybe the deliveries, through the deliveries app. Maybe one travel time sort of thing to try and figure out like how long it's going to take to get home from where I am, wherever, and maybe one or two other things. And especially with notifications, I think it's going to be really important and you will be able to choose which apps provide notifications to your watch. And I think it'll be very important for productivity's sake to be very selective with what types of notifications you get. And I'm compiling a list of what apps I want notifications from, what apps I want on my watch, that sort of thing. And like I said, I'll write up an article on that, but I think it'd be a good idea to compile a list of what you truly feel you want and try and keep it as minimal as possible, because it's not something that you want to try and justify as best you can this purchase of an Apple Watch. You don't want it to be something stupid.
You're not going to be able to do it. And I'll tell you why. because this thing doesn't do anything for you that you don't already have in some other form factor or access to in some other way that's much cheaper.
Sure, but it's a convenience thing. It's a convenience thing.
You can buy a Pebble. You could buy fitness trackers. You know, you
but
can.
You get more. I think that you get more functionality out of it. I think the UI is going to be better and easier to get to. Again, convenience factor.
Yes, it's a convenience factor thing.
But I mean,
which is part of why I'm so excited to put OmniFocus.
Yes. Yeah, that is on my list of things for sure. And there's the that site that we talked about last time, the what was that? Watch apps or whatever. Watchware.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, OmniFocus, they have I don't know, they didn't even put on their blog that they're going to be doing this, but
yeah,
Ken but they do have an app.
Tweeted out that they would be there day one with stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
So but the point I wanted to get to with this thing is that the reason why people are so irked about the price and things like that is because this is in a category that, I mean, it's an accessory.
Oh, yeah.
To the other technology that you already have. It does not replace that technology. It augments it and maybe makes it a little more convenient, but it's intimately tied to your phone, which you already have. So, you know, to think that this thing costs likely more than your phone did, because maybe you got your phone for free, quote unquote, on contract, right? And now you're paying $350 for a thing that just basically extends your phone screen to your wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're totally doing that.
Nobody really needs that. So
nobody needs it. Nobody needs a smartphone either.
There you could make some arguments in terms of actual utility. I mean, it does things, it processes things. I don't know. I don't want to go that far. You're right.
Sure.
I mean, you don't need it. But even less so, do you need an Apple Watch?
No, not at all. I don't need one. I definitely do not need one.
But you can certainly find lots of justifications to make it seem like you need it.
Totally. And that's basically
you're very good at that.
Basically lie to yourself really well. That you need this thing.
What I want to get to is what's wrong with just saying, hey, I want it. I like technology. This is a cool thing. And I'm going to get enjoyment out of it. And I have the ability to afford this. And so I'm going to do it. Why can't we just say that's okay? You know, why all the rage about, like, you know, it's frivolous.
I don't think
like nobody ever buys anything frivolous in their lives.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any... Yes, it is a fun tech thing to have. And I think that it would be a good idea to try and figure out a real use case for you personally to actually have this thing. Because if you're going to have it, you might as well come up with some use cases.
I'll give you a great example, too. And this is another thing where I think people can justify things. And there's a million examples. But a good one that, for me, works a lot of... In this scenario is rims on your car, right? Those things that hold the wheels on.
Oh,
spin
rims.
Around.
Rims.
Yeah, rims.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Rims for your car. There are people that go crazy over rims for their car. And they will spend tons and tons of money. And yeah, they may add more performance. They may make it lighter. I mean, there are certain benefits, right? But at the end of the day, the cheapest rims do exactly the same thing as the most expensive ones.
Sure.
But some people just really like nice rims.
And that's perfectly fine.
They want to bling out their car. Yeah. And I'm not going to go berate them for that. Great. If you want to have awesome rims and you think they're great and make your car look awesome and feel it goes faster or performs better, awesome for you. That's where you're going to spend your money. I'm an Apple fan. I like these products. I like the style. I like the design. I like the philosophy. Whatever element brings happiness to me from that, then I'm going to spend my money here.
And that's perfectly fine, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know why people run around, like, you know, certain people run around and be like, you're buying an Apple Watch. You're an idiot. You're wasting your money.
Okay. I think part of that comes from people who have the mentality that if whatever it is doesn't interest them or isn't right for them, it shouldn't interest anyone and shouldn't be right for anyone. And so if you're someone that thinks the Apple Watch is a bad idea, then it's much easier to say that it's just bad in general. I'm not saying everyone does that, but I think that there are a lot of people out there that forget that not every product is the right one for them, but that doesn't mean they're not the right products for other people.
Right. And I mean, everybody has their thing. Some people it's comic books. Some people it's food. Some people spend astronomical amounts on food because that's what they get enjoyment from.
So you know, and that's fine Lego too. Kits.
Yeah. Whatever it is, whatever your thing is, we all could probably point to something. I think this was another thing Doc talked about on the Mac show, but I had thought the same thing. You know, everybody can probably point to something in their life that's around them that you go, you know, I spent a lot of money on that and it just was because I wanted it and I enjoy it. But it might even have been Andy Anako actually. But the point is, right, we can all probably point to something that we own, have owned that was just like, I can't believe I spent that much money on that. But you know what I did? And it brought me lots of enjoyment and that's okay. And it might not bring the same enjoyment to someone else, but hey.
Yeah. Well, and then I think that the really interesting part of that whole story is what's going to happen in the next year with these apps and whether there truly is a more practical use case that will be brought to light, that will be realized with these sorts of devices, with Android Wear, with Apple Watch, what that'll look like in a year from now when these people who say, I don't need that, because it is just a tech fetish thing, I don't want it. When does that, or will it turn around? And will they say, oh, okay, well, I totally see the benefit of that now. I want to get
maybe,
that.
Maybe not. I'm saying it's ultimately irrelevant.
No, I'm just
at
saying.
At whatever point you come in.
No, I'm just saying that it would be interesting to see if that happens, if that's part of the story, and what those apps will look like, what those use cases will look like.
You are going to have those stories just like with every bit of technology like this, where some reporter, someone's going to write a huge long blog post about how stupid the Apple Watch is, how they don't need it. And 2 years from now, they're going to write that other post that says, hey, remember when I wrote this post? I have an Apple Watch now.
And I'm not talking about vindication or anything like that. I'm just saying it'll be interesting to see what that looks like. And when the technology has matured to the point where it truly does bring real concrete utility rather than just, you know, extra fun.
Well, I think it has. It's going to have concrete utility for a lot of people out of the gate, too. I'm not trying to dismiss that or say, just like you said earlier, Michael, I mean, you are going to be able to write your article and find lots of very valid things where this is going to improve sort of how you use your tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, for some people, the big benefit from this will be that every hour they get a reminder, get off your butt.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
And they become healthier for it.
Multi hour long lectures that I sit in, I'll be sitting there and suddenly I'll stand up.
Yeah, and there'll be like eight other people that stand up with you.
Yeah.
And you'll all look around, you give each other that nod,
like,
because
we're a bunch of dorks.
I'm just hoping Carrot will link to it and then she can tell me in real nasty ways to get off my butt.
Speaking of notifications, it seems as though there were a bunch of screenshots that a developer figured out how to unearth from the Apple Watch app. So he could kind of tricked his phone into thinking that a real Apple Watch has been paired with it. Mm-hmm. And so you can put your palm over the Apple Watch face to cancel or dismiss a notification.
You know, did you notice that Kevin Lynch was doing that in his demo? I totally noticed it. Mm-hmm. You go back and watch the keynote. He kept putting his whole palm over the top of the watch face.
No, I didn't notice that. Well, now that you say that, I think that
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I noticed that I see what he's doing, and I'm like, oh, I bet you that like is a gesture going back to the home screen or something like that.
That's neat. But yeah, there are quite a few. This is all through 9to5 Mac. They have a nice gallery that we're going to link to. A lot of neat little things in here. And one thing that I asked on Twitter and Reddit was whether the Apple Watch will be able to ping your phone, because like 25% of the reason the Apple Watch is going to be great for me is when I can't find in my house where my phone has gone. And so I can just very quickly, it's so in the Apple Watch settings, you can ping a paired iPhone right from the settings. You don't have to jump into find my iPhone, put in a password, find it, wait for it to connect, click a bunch of things. You can just easily do it through the watch, which will be nice. It'd be nice if Siri will let me do that too.
You know what I would love is for there to be some way to program into my phone where everything is in my place. So the layout of my apartment, where the couch is, where my desk is, all that stuff.
So you don't get lost?
So I don't get lost. But then when I can't find my phone, I just hold my Apple Watch up to my face and I say, "Hey Siri, where's my iPhone?" And she says, "It's on the couch, Jeff." So I don't have to do the whole follow around the pinging until I find it. Just go right where it is.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Someday.
Yeah, someday.
So 8.2, iOS 8.2 came out. That was on Monday. And the big thing with that, of course, is that you get the permanent Apple Watch app on there, whether you like it or not. You can just throw that into your Siberia folder with the rest of the apps that you don't care about.
Yeah, but from a marketing perspective, genius. Because how many people of the 700 million, well, probably less, because let's assume, you know, 65% upgraded, but 65% of the 700 million people have now popped open that app after upgrading.
Gentle reminder.
So if, whether you knew about the Apple Watch or not, now you do.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like the way that you pair your Apple Watch is pretty neat. You hit the start pairing button, and then you point your camera at your watch, which is quite nifty.
Why do you even need to do that? I'm confused about that. What is that doing exactly? Is there going to be a QR code on the thing, on the watch that comes up?
Yeah, that will be interesting to see.
I mean, it just wants to verify you have one. Has anybody just held it up to a picture of an Apple Watch?
I'm sure someone has.
I'm wondering if it just initiates like the Bluetooth connection. It's just like, oh, you're an Apple Watch, and then it tries to pair via Bluetooth. Like,
it must be some kind of QR.
Like, is it passing an actual number? Or it's not like, it doesn't sound like you're going to point it at a number, unless maybe you're pointing it at the back and it can pick up this serial number. Like, why would you even need to do that? Why can't it just, doesn't it work through Bluetooth? I'm just a little confused.
There's a manual pairing too. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm just curious. I'll be curious to see exactly how that works.
It must be a passcode transmittance thing. So you know how if you're like pairing a Bluetooth thing, you have to type in a code. I think it's that sort of thing, and it just does it automatically. But if you want to do it manually, you have that little option down
there. Maybe there'll be a code on the screen like it does with the... I'm thinking it's got to be something on the screen, like a number that it can read,
what
like it does with the iTunes cards or, you know, gift cards or your credit card.
Like it figures out based on the image what wrist you're wearing it on. So it auto sets it to right or left-handed mode.
That'd be neat. They do have those settings in there too.
You can, right.
You can change, you can say whether, which side you have the crown on and which arm you have it on.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like it would have to read something. Like it's not just like looking at, oh yeah, you actually have a watch.
Yeah.
Or an Apple Watch.
There's, so the waterproofing thing has also been specified. It's the IPX7 rating, which means that it's good for washing your hands, being in the rain, but submerging is not recommended. Although if you look up the IPX7 rating, it's a little bit more flexible than that. So I guess it's withstands incidental exposure to water of up to 1 meter for up to 30 minutes. So I guess if you're out, like,
basically what that means is, if your watch falls off and lands in a puddle and you reach down and pick it up, it's probably fine.
Or if you're like out canoeing or something and you fall in the water.
Right.
Yeah. So that's nice.
I just did the manual thing and it's on the Apple Watch just because I was then curious. And it says that you're going to pick the name from a list to manual appearances. Tap the eye icon on your Apple Watch to view its name, and then tap the corresponding name below, which I would assume would be transmitted
some sort of Bluetooth
to your phone via Bluetooth.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. I'm just wondering if the little
all will be eliminated.
The camera part's just a gimmick.
That's what I think. That's what I'm wondering. Like, it's just to like, yeah, you have an Apple Watch, so I'll turn on the Bluetooth now and look for one.
Huh.
I think that's all it is. That's my guess.
So did you guys see the diagnostic port seems to still be in these, in at least quite a few Apple Watches, because we saw a lot of these promo videos where they're making mass amounts of Apple Watches, and they still have that 6-pin diagnostic port that we thought wouldn't be there. And I guess Matthew Panzarino, I don't know. Uh-huh. I think he says that it's still in there in the watch
cool.
band channel. So that it kind of makes sense to me. It's so, you know how if your phone gets super borked and you need to plug it in, I mean, there's just nothing else you can do. Maybe it doesn't even show anything on the screen. You get the DFU mode and you can restore it from that point. I think the Apple Watch kind of needs something like that. So obviously it's not something that Apple is going to sell, right? But if you have a situation where your watch is totally screwed, you can go to the Apple store and they'll say, okay, no problem. We'll just hook it up to our little fancy watch band thingy and restore it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially maybe more down the line.
Jailbreaking,
sure.
Yeah.
Fancy watch bands, who knows? There's also the fact that it's been pointed out that the watch battery will be replaceable, according to TechCrunch. Mm-hmm. Although the iPhone battery is replaceable too, but mm-hmm. I mean, this is in terms of you take it to the Apple store and you pay them a fee, and they do that. Whether or not there is a CPU and or RAM upgrade possible, who knows?
I'm going with nope.
I would guess nope, but it would be nice if you could send your watch in to Apple a year from now and along with $100 and they upgrade your watch for you. Especially for those people.
Just like you can do with your iPhone.
It's not going to happen.
Especially what about the people
Apple
who are paying
they already built in the upgrade feature.
$10,000.
Didn't you miss that part of the keynote? It was right at the beginning. They
What's
talked
that?
About the upgrade feature for the Apple Watch.
Oh, recycling?
No, it's called Apple Pay.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
There's got to be a trade-in program or something.
It just magically, you do the Apple Pay thing, and boom, they give you a new watch upgraded to the new generation.
Wow.
And the bonus is, you still have the other one if you want to do something else with it.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. There you go. The Apple Watch also has 8 gigs of storage. But it's limited to 2 gigabytes for music and 75 megs for photos. So that's neat. So you can take it out. I keep toying with this idea of going out for a run or biking or something with my Apple Watch. But if I go for a run, I prefer to have it track GPS so it knows exactly how long I've gone. So maybe I'll try it. You can, of course, link with Bluetooth headphones to your Apple Watch and leave your phone home and listen to music directly from your watch.
What metrics can the workout app capture for you? Do you know?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Because what I read was that the workout app will still be able to collect data, whatever data it collects, without the phone being present.
Yeah, because there's the accelerometer in there. It just
won't
have
so I think
GPS
that's
data.
Movement and that sort of thing. And then you can sync it back to your device when you get back. So sync it back into the health app.
Yeah, exactly.
What have you? You're not going to get the GPS, and you won't get any advantages of third-party apps. And I don't think third-party apps can get directly at the watch data, unfortunately.
At least
if if they're not paired with the phone. I think it has to go through the health app, i.e. so if you had a third-party app that could get that data back from the health app, you could potentially just use the workout app when you're out and about and then bring that data back into whatever other systems you have.
Huh.
But But you're not going to get the advantages of, like, you know, a lot of people like Runkeeper or whatever the different apps are that have additional functionality that Apple doesn't offer built in.
Sure.
But a lot of people had been wondering, you know, hey, if I'm going to go running, I don't want to have to have my iPhone 6 Plus with me because it's ginormous.
Yep.
Right? So can I, is this going to give me any benefits? So there's a minimal benefit, I guess, at this point until we get standalone apps, I would think. And then that may change everything. You know, if you can have a Runkeeper full-blown app on your watch, then, you know, and you may not need your phone with you just to do workouts, which would be nice.
And I'm guessing since Apple said that full-blown apps are this fall,
right,
that, yeah, we just need to wait a few months, and then we'll be able to do exactly what you just said.
Yeah. But in the meantime, there is, for people who have been wondering, from what I've read and the research that I've done, there is, you can do anything with a workout app that it can do without having to be tethered to the phone. And
which
then it will
nice.
Sync back when you get back to the phone.
Cool. All right. So iOS 8.3 Beta 3 was ceded to developers. And I think it's mainly just emojis still and bug fixes. Although there is a new thing for messages that it's an option to enable conversation list filtering. And with that turned on, messages received from people who are not in your contacts list will be filtered into a separate list, which is nice for people who get junk texts. And of course, it has the Apple Watch app in there as well, and they've begun opening a public beta testing program for 8.3, although it's kind of hit and miss. You have to get their email.
It's like invite only.
It's invite
and only. I haven't gotten the email.
I haven't either.
How much feedback have you been giving Apple on the last beta?
Apparently not enough.
Yeah, same here.
Any?
I gave a little bit.
Yeah, some, but...
I'm guessing they're going to pick... They're probably getting get to a point where they're going to pick people who are more active first and then let others in slowly. And that's what I would do. I mean, that makes the most sense.
Yep, totally makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not talking about just any feedback, by the way, because I don't want people to get in the program and just like start shooting stupid emails to Apple on every little thing. I'm thinking they also probably quantify like how helpful the feedback was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You get people in the public beta program like, I'm just going to send them an email every day about every nitpicky little thing. No, that will probably get you banned as well.
Banned.
Or kept out.
Ban land. Population U.
So be helpful, but not annoying.
There you go.
General good rule for life.
There you go. We may get Force Touch in a pink color option in the next iPhone. That makes sense. Although the pink color option, who knows?
You know, until you
according
just kind of said that,
General.
And I had been hearing them say Force Touch, you know, a lot of people are somewhat upset about the whole, that moniker.
Why?
It is a little odd to say that.
Okay, you're right. Now that you bring it up, so thank you for
bringing
it up.
I'm going to come Force Touch you.
Don't. I don't want you to.
I know. You don't want anybody force touching anything, right? It's not good.
No. If you're doing a force touch thing, it has to be part of a consensual agreement.
But then is it force touch at that
no,
point?
No, then it's not. That's the whole
thing. It's more like a role playing.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha. That makes sense.
And it involves safe words.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a good point in the episode to go this direction, too, because my mother has probably fallen asleep at this point, so we're good.
Hi, Mom.
The iPhone 5 sleep-wake button replacement program has been extended, so if you're someone who has a messed-up sleep-wake button on your iPhone 5, you can probably get it fixed by Apple for free, so that's cool. Check that out. And the Apple TV... So there's, as we talked about before, the rumored HBO pay-to-watch thing. It exists.
Now.
Called HBO Now. It's $15. $15 a month, which is pretty much what you'd end up paying on cable for HBO Now. So I like it. Woohoo.
You mean HBO Go?
No, if you...
HBO on cable?
If you paid for HBO
Now.
If you paid HBO...
I want to clarify because I'm a little confused about this. So you have HBO on your cable.
Right.
Right? And it's just called... I think it's just called HBO when you have it in your cable package.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then by having HBO in your cable package, you get access to HBO Go.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes.
Which is the app and service that's tied to your cable subscription. Now, the thing that's coming out on Apple TV is going to be called HBO Now. And I think the difference is HBO Go is the thing that's tied to your cable package. And HBO Now is when you don't have a cable package and you're just getting directly from HBO. Is that right?
Correct.
Yep. Okay. You've got it.
You got it. That's cool. So it's on the new Apple TV software. And they're now $69. So they're even cheaper. But
which is cool.
Now, isn't it, what's Apple's policy? Within 45 days, if you bought something and they lower the price, they give you the difference?
I don't know if it's 45 days.
15 days? Okay.
15 days.
Okay. So there's that, in case anybody's wondering. Although those people probably figured it out for themselves already. So yeah, that's it. Time for iDevice picks. Adam, do you want to go first?
Sure.
All right, do it.
I never remember what I did. I should have looked on the site. did I do Atomos last week? I did, right?
You did.
Okay. Did I do Disney Side or was that Jeff?
Nope.
Somebody picked that?
Nope.
No.
All right. We'll go with Disney Side then, which is an app actually from Disney Parks, because I guess they're doing this whole like marketing campaign, show your Disney Side.
Sure.
But what's cool about this little app is that it has different characters that you might see in the park. So they have the characters from Frozen. They have Star Tours characters, including Darth Maul, X-Wing Pilot, and Queen Amidala, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Disney villains. And it's a free app, and it lets you take a little selfie photo, but it gives you a frame to kind of put your, you know, where to put your head and where to put your shoulders and stuff like that. You frame yourself in the frame, and then it will try to figure out where your eyes and mouth are, but you can then on screen sort of adjust it, and then it will overlay the character's costume and coloring on top of you. And not only that, it will do like video morphing effects, as you're interacting with the app. So it kind of creates this little animated character of yourself in that character's costume and environment. You can change it has different backgrounds for the different characters, different expressions and audio and stuff like that. And then you can either take a snapshot of that or also a quick video and share that out on social media. And it's pretty freaking hilarious and it's fun and free. And so if you're a fan of Disney, it's definitely, something worth checking out.
What's it called?
Disney Side. Show your. I think it's just called Disney Side.
Like two or words?
Show your. It's called Your Disney Side app.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's free.
Well, that's a weird screenshot. That second screenshot makes that lady look like a robot.
I'll send you a. There's a Twitter video of me as Jafar. So I will send that to you. You can put that.
That's awesome.
Oh boy. Okay, cool. And that's free. Jeff, what's your pick?
Well, I decided to do a follow-up to Adam's pick from last week, which was Atomos.
Mm-hmm.
So my pick this week is Hydrogen. And so it's Hydrogen with an exclamation point. And what it does is it lets you visualize atoms and molecules. Ooh. But from a quantum mechanics state. So instead of the traditional pellets that spin around each other, you get to look at atomic structures in what's probably a more realistic way, where everything's kind of fuzzy and you don't really have like solid, hard edges.
Yeah, because, well, what you're looking at is the Pauli exclusion principle. Basically, you can't know both the location and the velocity of a particle at the same time at those quantum sizes. So with the electrons, what you end up seeing when they talk about electron orbitals, you're really looking at a probability function. And so there's as the shape gets smaller, there's a lower probability of it being there than there is in the bigger areas. And they don't orbit. They kind of jump around in different spots. It's really interesting. So you get the, what I'm looking at here is those probability functions, and that's what you're describing here.
Yes. Yes. And this is a great and beautiful visualization of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool.
So, yeah. And you can pick it up for free. It has some in-app purchases. And, but just for the basic stuff that you would really want this for, you don't have to pay. So you get good functionality without having to shell out any cash. If you need the other features or you just want to support the developer, well, there you go. Do some in-app purchases.
Cool. The polyocclusion principle is not the right thing that I'm thinking about. That has to do with that fermions can't occupy the same quantum state.
Ah, okay.
My bad. What's the cannot know location and velocity? Hang on. Oh, the uncertainty principle. There we go. Yeah. The Heisenberg uncertainty principle. There we go. That's what I was talking about.
Which is critical for proper transporter function.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to mess that up.
No. Hey, okay, so one thing you have to do with this app, because I'm assuming everyone has red-blue glasses just sitting around like I do.
You're the only one, but yes, go ahead.
Now, I actually bought red-blue glasses, plastic frames, so not just like a little cardboard cutout. So no kidding. Nice. This has a red-blue 3D mode in it, so you can look at the atomic structures you're playing with as if they were floating in space.
That is very cool.
It's really cool.
Oh my goodness, this video that Adam just sent me. Oh boy. Yep,
cool
that's
stuff,
creepy.
Right?
That's crazy. Sorry, Jeff, I cut you off, but...
No, that's all right. I have my red-blue glasses. I have three-dimensional atomic structures. I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, so it supports the... You just turn on a setting and it just does it? Or is it
yep.
out of the box?
You just tap a button and it does it.
Nice. Very cool. I'm looking at I'm going to have to look at this. I bet my the students that I tutor would like this. Maybe. Or maybe they'll just want me to stop talking about electrons. Anyway, yeah. So then my pick this week is not an app. It is a movie that I watched on my Apple TV, which is Birdman. Have you guys seen Birdman yet?
Yes.
I have not.
You got to check it out. It's really cool.
It was free on the plane when I went to Florida.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I wasn't entirely sure what to expect from it, even though I had seen the trailers. But I thought it was very well done. It's one of those movies that it's unlike most of the movies that you go and see at the theaters. And that's hard to say these days because it's just difficult to find original ideas. And it was very entertaining. It played off of Michael Keaton's previous roles as Batman, and there's some fantasy in there. There's some questions where you say, well, did this really happen or did it not really happen? And based on that, you kind of, it shapes your perspective of the movie. And I was thoroughly entertained. You can get it on your Apple TV, and I rented it for, I don't know, $3, maybe $4. I should have pulled out the pricing, but for what it's worth, you can rent movies for cheaper on the Apple TV. Here's a side pick or a side tip rather. If you go into your settings and turn off HD, then it will present you with the SD pricing for renting. So it's $6 to rent in HD and $4-$5 to rent in SD. And I have a 720p TV, so it's not a big deal. So there's a side pick for you as well for your Apple TV. So with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Feedback@theiosshow.com is the address to which you can send your feedback and questions and comments and all that sort of stuff. Our sponsor this week, of course, is Smile at smilesoftware.com/Tios. And there's also Harry's. Now, when you use the coupon code Tios at checkout, you get $5 off. Check them out, harrys.com. And all of our advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and TMO Daily Observations Podcast. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
Of course. Hey, can I pimp a couple things I'm doing?
Definitely.
All right. So both right around Memorial Day, so a couple days before, I believe it's the 20th and 21st, I will be in New Orleans for the ACES conference. I'm giving one of the keynote speeches. So that's a big event for Apple consultants. And then the 23rd through the 25th, I will be at Denver Comic Con, and I'll be doing some of the onstage celebrity interviews.
Cool.
Yeah, both are going to be a lot of fun. So come see me, either in New Orleans or Denver or both.
What's the New Orleans thing again?
ACES conference.
ACES, like cards?
Like the cards.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'll put that in the show notes for everybody. And Adam Christensen, he's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and at MacCast on Twitter.
Yep.
Anything else you want to pimp?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
I guess I should mention that I'm regularly on the Mac show on the British Tech Network.
Yeah.
At BritishTechNetwork.com. So if you want to check out their whole lineup of geek nerdy content, it's all great stuff. But I'm a regular on the Mac show, and I know, Jeff, you do the big show and the comic show, and are occasionally on the Mac show as well. So,
yeah, but that's a fun group of people to do shows with.
Yep.
Yeah. Although it's early, at least for the Mac show.
Only for you, Michael.
Only for me. Yeah. Well, I need my sleep. Okay. I need my beauty rest.
Okay. Fine.
It's fine. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. You can check me out on Appler, GETAPPLR.com/Michael. And you know what? If you want to check out my Tumblr, which, you know, it doesn't have a lot to do with iPhones or anything like that, just kind of insanity. But Tumblr.MichaelJohnston.me. I think that's more relevant than my Twitter because I don't post as much on Twitter as I do on Tumblr. So there's that. And with that, we'll talk to you next week on the iOS show.
An internet table. How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck. Yuck, yuck, no. Yuck, 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 no. Yuck, no. Yuck, yuck, no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers. Yuck.
Internet.
and an internet communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it? An iPod. A phone. An iPod. A phone. An internet communicator.